Well, good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program. I thought the big deal with Limbaugh over the weekend, he was going to finally come out and admit that he was a pedophile. But apparently he, Elton John played at his wedding. Oh, well, that's all I'm going to say about it. I couldn't care less. I'm surprised he didn't marry a lampshade, you know, which he may have. Last week, amidst all the reports about the hellish portal in the Gulf of Mexico, a portal that goes straight down to hell, thanks to corporate America, amidst all that, I tried to find someone that we could get on this program who might be able to offer some insight into what's going on. We've had an awful lot of people on television, radio interviews, on the weekend talk shows, so on and so forth, who are spouting the same garbage. In the first place, we know that BP is lying through its teeth. In the second place, we know that the Obama administration has done absolutely nothing. I'm sorry, nothing to seize control of this. So the gusher continues to pump this poison into the Gulf of Mexico. We looked high and low, far and wide, as the cliche goes, to try to find somebody who could offer some insight into this horrific situation. And I think we finally found someone. He is a professor of geology, I believe. Let me look here. Yeah, professor of geology at NYU. I want to welcome Professor Curley. Professor, welcome to the program. I'm glad you could take time out of your schedule to spend a little time with us. How long, have you been a geologist or in the field of geology?
Oh, that's a good question. Since the census workers came to my house and offered me some stimulus money. And then last Friday they fired me, but they hired me back today. I'm seven new hires for the week.
Professor, hold on just a second. When did you start? Let me give you an easier question then. When did you start working as a consultant for BP?
Oh, right after I found the bag of it was funny looking tapes on the subway in Manhattan. The bag had an airline tag on it marked LAX, and there was a note on it that said, "If lost, call BP now. 1-800-BIG-POOPY."
Uh-huh. So you called them, obviously, and they put you to work, right?
Sweetly.
Let's get to some of the more technical aspects of this, because it is a horrendous tragedy. What caused this blowout to begin with?
Monica Lewinsky.
All right. Let me ask you this. Do you own, I'm sorry to get too personal here, but we'd like to check with our sources. I didn't have a chance to talk to you before the program. Do you own any BP stock?
They told me I couldn't answer that question. They knew it would be asked.
Okay. Do you work alone, or is there a team? Do you work with a team?
Most of the time, but not always.
Wait a minute. You work alone or with a team?
Yes.
All right. Let me try that again. Okay. Let me ask you this. I've been reading about some of the equipment that's being used by BP, and one of the things is called a bell nipple. What is a bell nipple?
Bell nipple. It's bell pepper melted and reshaped from Play-Doh.
Okay. And what about a shaker tank?
Oh, that's easy. That's a new line of clothing by Dolly Parton.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, Professor, one last term here that I think we need to have defined for us, and if you can do as well as you've done on the other two, I think we're home free here. What is a flow bean?
That was an idea that was developed from a conference with the OMB and Princeton University. They developed a mixture of Metamucil and beaver hair. Don't know where the name came from.
And it's called a flow bean. Okay. Now,
if at first you don't succeed, keep on sucking until you do succeed.
I see. Okay. a lot of attempts have been made to stop this this horrible gusher. Why didn't the so-called garbage shot work? Why didn't that work?
It was had something to do with a legal holiday and not enough accrued vacation time.
Uh-huh.
You see?
I'm not sure I understand that. All right. What was the top hat effort? Remember that? And why didn't that work? The top hat? Professor Curley? The top.
That was an old trick, but it just didn't work.
It just didn't work or work. Oh, good. Okay. Now I'm sure you've been watching television. You've seen, like most of us have, an awful lot of animals dying, right?
Oh, the humanity! The humanity! Oh, the guppies! The anglerfish! The tigerfish! Archerfish! Tigerfish! Lionfish! Giraffefish! Skunkfish! Oh, the little chihuahua dogfish! Oh, the anchovies, the salad, calamari, oh, the calamari with a feta fish, pizza fish, pepperoni fish, mulberry cheese.
Okay.
I'm so frustrated!
All right, Professor Curley, just a couple more here. When is this going to end?
6:15 on Thursday.
Excuse me?
I don't know.
Professor Curley, we have to have an answer to this. You're the expert. You've been hired by BP. When is this going to be end? When is this damn thing going to be plugged up?
Yep.
Professor?
Oh! Are you casting asparagus on my cooking?
Okay. All right. Listen, I
Rosa Durant and...
excuse
and
me?
And how do you do? Drink four of these and...
Professor, I have to tell you, I didn't expect this interview to turn out this way. Let me just ask you. I'm sure you're a professor. It says on your bio sheet here that you're from NYU. That's New York University, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Professor Curley, anything else you would like to add before we move on? Any professor? Nothing. Not a thing. All right, Professor. You thank you very much. You have a nice evening, okay? Professor? good night, sir. Thank you very much. Good night, Professor. Okay. Thank you, Professor. Did you book this? Who booked this guy? Who got this guy on the show? I tried to provide experts on the program, Kathy, and something like this happens. All right, well, Professor Curley. I guess that was a dead giveaway when you sent me his bio sheet. Well, must be one of those right-wingers that are trying to sabotage this program. Excuse me? It what? Say it again.
I have to say the BP cleanup effort does remind one of a Three Stooges episode.
Except for all the death and destruction. I guess that's what sets it apart. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and... try to regain control of the program. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Hey, Mo! Hey, Mo!
On late night TV, those knuckleheads love to get in a scuffle, they push and they
and shove, doing the curly shuffle. Hey mo, hey mo,
hey mo, hey mo.
Well, yup, 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 yup.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malone.
It is 21 past the hour. Seven U.S. soldiers were killed in Afghanistan today, Monday, in addition to three other NATO troops, which makes the day the deadliest for coalition forces so far this year. Five of these soldiers were killed in a roadside bomb attack in eastern Afghanistan. And two U.S. soldiers were killed in the country's south, one in a bombing, the other by small arms fire. And I believe, this, you know, and I read this, this is something that if Dick Cheney, if his psychotic daughter, told him about this, his answer would have been, so? And doesn't today mark the war in Afghanistan as being the longest in U.S. history? I believe it does. 28 children lost their fathers as a result of the Israeli attack on the Freedom Flotilla a week ago. 28 children. Nine people were shot dead. Eight of them were fathers whose children are now yatims due to the Israeli assault on the Freedom Flotilla. There's a list of the names of the dead and their children, which I just don't feel qualified to go into. What else? John Boehner, according to Kay, our educationist correspondent, John Boehner, House Minority Leader John Boehner, is outraged at Paul McCartney for telling the truth about George W. Bush. What was that? Oh, yeah, it was last weekend, wasn't it? Yeah, I saw the video. Boehner is demanding that Paul McCartney apologize for expressing his, McCartney's, gratitude that America again has a president, quote, who knows what a library is, end quote. Boehner got his bloomers in a wad and issued a statement saying that McCartney should apologize. I hope McCartney just gives him the finger and tells him to go pound suntan lotion up his body orifices. If it weren't for self-righteousness, the Republican Party wouldn't have any righteousness at all, right? Kay writes, here's to another week of living through the looking glass. It's madness. And his psychotic daughter was on one of the weekend, what was it, on This Week, and got into a discussion, if that's the polite way to put it, with Arianna Huffington. This woman needs to be put away somewhere. Not Arianna, the other one. Really needs to be put away. Regarding the oil spill and the lawsuits to come, did you see this? More than half of the federal judges in districts where the bulk of Gulf oil spill-related lawsuits are pending have financial connections to the oil and gas industry. Did you get that? More than half of the federal judges have direct ties to the oil and gas industry. 37 of the 64 active or senior judges in key Gulf Coast districts in Louisiana, Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida have links to oil, gas, and related energy industries, including some who own stock or bonds in BP, Halliburton, and or Transocean. How about that? For example, one federal judge in Texas is a member of Houston's Petroleum Club, which is billed itself as, quote, an exclusive, handsome club of and for men of the oil industry, end quote. U.S. District Judge Mary Ann Lemon in New Orleans, who reported ownership of BP stock, issued an order in early May that the court clerk not allot cases involving BP or related entities to her docket. At least she's being honest about it. Another New Orleans judge, U.S. District Judge Carl Barbier, is presiding over about 20 spill-related lawsuits, and some attorneys are recommending that he be chosen to oversee all cases filed nationally. He said in court Friday he is selling his oil and gas investments, which included Transocean and Halliburton, to avoid even a perception of a conflict. Another judge in Louisiana, U.S. District Judge Eldon Fallon, recused himself because his attorney, son-in-law, is representing several people and businesses filing suits against BP. The judge BP wants to hear all of the spill-related cases, however, is U.S. District Judge Lynn Hughes of Houston, who for the past 2 years has been a, quote, distinguished lecturer, end quote, focusing on ethical issues for the 35,000-member American Association of Petroleum Geologists. 37 of the 64 active or senior judges in key Gulf Coast districts have links to oil, gas, and related energy industries. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Scream, you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, much aligned and rightly so, Minerals Management Service, MMS, the agency whose job it was to kind of oversee how the environment was about to be despoiled by yet another corporate bastard. Another example of capitalism run amok. Do you know where the MMS came from? Minerals Management Service? It was not a congressionally established agency. No, no, no. According to my emailer here, MMS was created by James Watt during Reagan's toying with this country for 8 years. James Watt, if you remember, was Reagan's infamous Interior Secretary. He's the one that said there really is no reason to protect the environment because Jesus is soon coming. And there's no point in going through all this. James Watt created the MMS by administrative fiat. He just ordered it into being, and it came into being. MMS was nothing but, it was never intended to be anything but a cover operation for these predatory bastards in the energy industry. Just thought you ought to know that. Jesus, God. Just never stops, does it, huh? Never stops. This is from Mike in Oregon City. I get a lot of emails like this. Most of them, I do read them, but there's not too much I can do. I've got two that I hope to work in tonight. Here's the first one. Mike, I cannot seem to hold it together anymore. The crisis in the Gulf put me over the edge of rational thought, and I continue to struggle with feelings of impending doom. You clearly feel the same, but at least have opportunity to rant about it to the entire country. I really wish I had family and friends concerned enough to care like the Malloy Radio family does, but I can't find them. With the oil washing up off the shores of Florida, confirming the ending of an entire fishing industry for the Gulf states, alongside the bright and cheerful news that BP has managed to capture 11,000 barrels of oil on Sunday, My mind started to snap. Mike, I thought there were only 5,000 barrels a day coming out of the well, right? Chocolate rations are increasing from 30 to 25 grams this week. Let's all clap at the telescreens. It appears to me that Orwellianism is happening right before our eyes, yet the majority of this country are completely unaffected and just plain dumb. The transformation of this government into the next best thing since fascism appears to have happened, and I'm sick to death because of it. We let this happen, and we deserve what we get, but I fear we are about to get a snoot fool. I notice Helen Thomas left today after offending Israel, yet Israel just successfully stopped the world from providing aid to the Gaza. Chocolate rations are increasing from 30 to 25 grams this week. Let's all clap at the telescreens. The soldier who leaked that infamous helicopter video showing the murder of reporters and civilians was arrested, while the murders were decorated. I'm so tired of fighting against these people, Mike. I am, like you, honestly wondering what to do. My two cents worth. Yeah, I know. It's very difficult to maintain equilibrium. I understand that. I think the best way to do it, perhaps, to maintain the equilibrium. I mean, so many of us feel alone a lot of the times. But I'm just wondering how many people listening to this program have access to family where there might be children, little children, like if you have a son or a daughter, a small one, or a niece or a nephew, or grandkids, or what have you. I have found that focusing on Molly and focusing to the degree that I can because my two grandchildren don't live here, but focusing on grandchildren, focusing on my six-year-old almost daughter is about the best thing to stay sane and to realize that this churning horror in the Gulf of Mexico is just that, a churning horror. But at some point, it's going to come to an end, either a calamitous end or an end that is just tragic. But at some point, it's going to come to an end. Nobody's asking me for any advice, but were they, I would suggest that the best way to maintain some kind of sense of hope or sanity or rationality is to focus on whatever children might be in your family. The Iranian guard, the elite military force in the heart of the Iranian government, has announced plans to escort two aid ships to Gaza. If you're looking for a confrontation, if this story is true, and it's reported in the Daily Beast by Peter Beinart, senior political writer for the Daily Beast, it's a quote from, I'm not sure from where, Associated Press, I guess. But if you're concerned about confrontation that could escalate into something really, really horrific, this might be the triggering event right here. This week, Elliot Abrams. Remember Elliot Abrams, a murderous bastard who worked in the Reagan administration and then in the Bush administration, he's a Likudnik. He hates the United States. He will murder the United States in order to benefit Israel. That's just what Elliot Abrams is. He wrote an essay in the Weekly Standard attacking the Obama administration for not defending Israel during the flotilla crisis. Elliot Abrams, who hates America, and will do anything to see it die if Israel has to live. Abrams said the White House had joined an anti-Israeli, quote, lynch mob, end quote. You see how this works? Over the course of the article, he used that metaphor, lynch mob, 6 times. And as Peter Beinart writes, it's remarkable when you think about it, to Americans with even the slightest degree of racial awareness, lynch mob conjures something quite particular. To deploy that metaphor to describe a UN resolution that obliquely criticizes Israel is audacious. To deploy it to describe the support for that resolution by America's first African-American president is astonishing. It's like a bit like calling Joe Lieberman's opposition healthcare reform a pogrom. But the Israeli lobby in this country doesn't give a damn. Doesn't care. It will say anything and do anything to continue to cow and terrorize elected members of the U.S. House and Senate. And they are so willing to be terrorized by the Israeli lobby. As an Obama official once told Peter Beinart about the Netanyahu team that's now in control of Israel, the hard-right neo-Nazi Likudniks, an Obama official told Peter Beinart with amazement, quote, these guys are actually waiting for President Palin, end quote. Why does Abrams' metaphor matter, Peter Beinart asks? Why does it matter to say that the Obama White House had joined an anti-Israel lynch mob? Why does it matter? Beinart says because it shows how out of touch the Israeli government's American defenders are with, well, America. And there's an irony here. The Netanyahu government is filled with Americans. The prime minister himself attended high school in the Philadelphia suburbs. Ron Dermer, one of his close advisors, was born in Miami Beach. His ambassador to the United States, Michael Oren, hails from New Jersey. In addition, Americans, prominent Americans like Elliot Abrams, regularly appear in the U.S. media to echo the Netanyahu line. But paradoxically, this familiarity breeds overconfidence and ignorance. When Netanyahu travels to Washington, he speaks before Jewish audiences that mostly dislike Obama's Israeli policy, even though, according to a recent American Jewish Committee survey, American Jews overall support it by a margin of close to 2-1. When he's not speaking to right-wing Jews, Netanyahu speaks to right-wing Christians. And when he's not speaking to right-wing Christians, he's speaking to former Bush administration officials who expect to soon be back at their old jobs. Yeah, I've got some more to say about this particular issue and about the forced resignation of Helen Thomas. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Coast to Coast, The Mike Molloy Show, all substance, no abuse.
I have a question that's intended to just raise the issue, but it's probably going to piss a lot of people off, but I frankly don't care at this point. We always hear about Israel's right to exist. Let me ask you something. Why does Israel have a right to exist? What is a right to exist? I can't think of any other country that claims a right to exist. I can't. Does the United States claim a right to exist? Does Germany? Does Iran? What is this? We have a God-given right to exist. I've never been able to figure that out. Who granted that right to exist? Is this have to do with religion? What if the Palestinians declare that Allah gave them the right to exist in this very same little piece of blood-soaked geography? Who claims a right to exist and insists that everyone else acknowledge that right to exist? I'm just asking. Just asking. Who does that? Ari Fleischer, this pig bastard who lied through 6 years or 5 years of the Bush crime family's destruction of the economy, the destruction of the environment, two illegal wars, the murder of hundreds of thousands of people in the Middle East. Ari Fleischer, the public face of the crimes of the Bush crime family for years, demanded on Friday that Helen Thomas be fired by the Hearst Corporation. That's because she said the Jews should, quote, get the hell out of Palestine, end quote, which, by the way, is exactly the same thing that Meir Kahane said. But Meir Kahane, you see, was a member of the Israeli Knesset and an extreme right-wing Orthodox rabbi and Zionist. But he said the same thing. Same thing. Exactly. Oh, I'm sorry. It was the Palestinians should get the hell out of Palestine. That's right. I knew there was a slight difference. Rabbi David Nesanoff of RabbiLive.com is the one who pushed Helen Thomas into elaborating on her statement that the Palestinians were an occupied people and that maybe this Jew should go home. And the good rabbi wanted to know, where's home? And Helen Thomas, again, said the same thing Meir Kahane said. Home? Home is, oh, Kiev, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Johannesburg. That's where home is. That's what Meir Kahane said. What Helen Thomas said is maybe the occupiers should go home. Ari Fleischer, whose lies have cost millions of lives. No, literally. His cover for the Bush crime family. Oh, okay. Hundreds of thousands of lives in the immediate sense. But Ari Fleischer's cover of the Bush crime family allowed the Bush crime family to dump God only knows, or somebody only knows, how much depleted uranium on Iraq. Ari Fleischer is a mass killer. He is involved and was heavily involved in genocide, much like that committed against his people by the Nazis. Ari Fleischer demanded that Helen Thomas be fired. The nerve of this pig. Who demanded he should be fired when he lied to the American people over and over and over again and sent American men and women to their deaths, and who condemned thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis to death? Who demanded this bastard be fired? Huh? She should lose her job over this, Fleischer said in an email. As someone who is Jewish and as someone who worked with her and used to like her, I find this appalling. She is advocating religious cleansing. No, she's not. That's what you did, Fleischer. That's what you did. Helen Thomas is suggesting that an occupying force leave the country it's occupying. He went on to say, if a journalist or a columnist said the same thing about blacks or Hispanics, they would already have lost their jobs. Ari, you two-bit punk, tell me where blacks or Hispanics have moved into a country and occupied it and treated the people in the country as though they were non-humans, and who have systematically and slowly attempted to exterminate them. No? Can't think of any? Okay. Ari Fleischer, if anyone is complicit in the Bush crime family of mass murder, of lies and deception and destroying this country, it's Ari Fleischer. Ari Fleischer, who spent 5-6 years pushing lie after lie after lie into the American media, which is what the Israeli lobby does where it concerns this issue, without let up. It never stops, to the point where when an 89-year-old woman says, why don't they just leave, within hours of that statement becoming known, she loses her job. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy, and I'm going to cover more of this, so stick around if you want to. This is the Malloy program. Back to the Helen Thomas comment that was made back in May, by the way, and only released as a diversionary tactic by the rabbi who recorded it. I think it was released on Friday and went viral over the weekend. Urban Explorer writes, don't forget it was David Ben-Gurion, Israel's first prime minister. Born as David Grun in Polonsk, Russian Empire, now Poland, it was David Ben-Gurion who said that, quote, we have come here and stolen their country, end quote. Helen Thomas is absolutely right. It enrages me to see that the oppressors use the same worn-out cliches of, we're the victim, so any criticism of us makes you anti-Semitic, even if you're Jewish. This attitude governs their murderous actions and, by extension, their murderous policy. Don't forget, Helen Thomas is of a Semitic descent. Her family is Lebanese, just like Ralph Nader. If people were truly anti-Semitic, they would hate Jews, Arabs, Ethiopians, Maltese, and so on and so on. Yeah, I've just about had a belly full of this. I remember one time the head, he's now dead, but the head of the southern branch of the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, in a publication here in Atlanta, put in print that Mike Malloy was an anti-Semite and hated Jews. This is way back in the 80s, during the first Palestinian Intifada, when I was raising issues about the use of rubber bullets and live ammunition against Palestinian youth who were throwing stones. And because I raised that issue, I was an anti-Semite. Having a lot of friends of the Jewish faith in this city, they more or less wrote the guy off as half-cocked and an idiot. But he still was the Southern Regional Director of ADL. Did it affect me, my life, my career, anything about me? Hell no. Not a bit. Matt in East Jordan, Michigan writes, good luck to the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA. Helen Thomas tried and that didn't work. The IAEA is meeting to discuss Israel. You know that the IAEA is the United Nations Nuclear Agency that's supposed to keep track of those countries that have nuclear weapons, more or less. And there is a meeting of the Board of Governors, the IAEA, in the Austrian capital of Vienna. And they're going to be discussing Israel's nuclear stockpile. According to, is this Huffington? No, Al Jazeera. It's the first time since 1991 that Israel's nuclear issue is included in the five-day meeting of the International Atomic Energy Agency, which began today. Al Jazeera's Alan Fisher, reporting from Vienna, said an 18-country bloc led by the Arab nations had been pushing for the discussion. Alan Fisher said, quote, it's regarded as a bit of a coup that they managed after 19 years of trying to get a discussion about Israel's nuclear capability. It's on the agenda and will be discussed at some point during the next 2 or 3 days. And then there's also this from Huffington Post. You know, why did Barack Obama disrespect Helen Thomas? And the writer says, I love Helen Thomas. During the past 8 years, she was the only reporter who stood up to Bush, took on his rotten war, and in general acted like a journalist. Last night, the Great Hall looked like it was populated by a president, reporter, and 11th graders from local high school newspapers. This is the other day when Obama had a press conference. I think I saw a cub reporter from the Dillon, Texas high school paper. Ms. Thomas' moment came when she asked the president about nuclear proliferation. Her question ended with the query, does he know of any Middle Eastern state with nukes? Why did she ask that? She asked to see if Obama would refuse to respond as previous presidents have. The answer is Israel, of course, and everyone knows it. In fact, the State Department has published reams of material about Kennedy's concern about the Israeli bomb. John Kennedy. Israeli politicians talk about it. Every Arab in the world knows about it. And Israel's nukes are its number one deterrent. But in this country, in the United States, you bring up the issue, you are an anti-Semite. You are working against the interests of the state of Israel, and if you're doing that, you deserve to either lose your career, be ostracized by your cohort, whatever it is. If you're a doctor, all the doctors are supposed to ignore you. If you're a journalist, all the journalists. If you're a scientist, all the scientists. If you're an educator, all the educators. This is a topic that Americans dare not touch. No matter how bad the situation gets, no matter how many people are murdered by the IDF? No matter how many ships are stopped on the high seas. No matter how many Palestinian children die of malnutrition. We will not discuss this. Because to do so, you see, is anti-Semitic. It means you're a Jew hater. Here's what White House spokesman Robert Gibbs had to say about Helen Thomas's comments last Friday. This is from today. Do I read the question? All right, here's the question from the reporter.
Does the president have any reaction to the controversy over Helen's remarks that were publicized Friday?
Well, I've not spoken with him directly on that. I would say this, Tommy, I think those remarks were offensive and reprehensible. I think she should and has apologized because obviously those remarks do not reflect certainly the opinion of, I assume, most of the people in here and certainly not of the administration.
Offensive and reprehensible. Offensive and reprehensible. I wonder if this cheesy mouthpiece for Barack Obama would have said the same thing when David Ben-Gurion said essentially the same words. I wonder if any spokesperson for the President of the United States, that would have been Reagan, during the first Intifada, when Meir Kahane was talking about how the Palestinians must be eradicated, they must be removed from his religion's claim to that piece of blood-soaked ground. Who spoke out then? Who said, other than Palestinian human rights organizations, who spoke out and said, wait a second, Meir Kahane, he is an American citizen. He is the founder of the JDL in where? Philly. He went on to become a member of the Israeli Knesset. Who said about Meir Kahane that his statement was racist, murderous, and advocated genocide? Nobody. And do you know why? Because you're not allowed to say those things in the United States. The Israeli lobby is so powerful and so pervasive and owns so much where it concerns the opinion makers. And the ones it does not own and influence, it scares the hell out of. So nobody in a position of power, nobody speaks out for the Palestinian people. Nobody. And anyone that does, any person on some two-bit radio program like this one that does speak out, he's an anti-Semite. I won't give up that
doing talk radio right from the left. It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. What is particularly galling to me, just on a personal level, this whole bit about Helen Thomas, comments that she made a couple of weeks ago. And there are organizations that they're very pro-Israel and anti-America in this country that will seize on a comment like that and hold it until the opportune moment to release it, knowing that it will obscure and smokescreen some other event, usually something that the Israeli government has done that is horrific, such as the attack a week or so ago on the flotilla. This shifts focus away from the murder of 9 people in an act of an international war crime by the Israelis in international water. They attack a relief boat, murder 9 people, leave 28 children as orphans, and then go about their merry way. In the meantime, this rabbi releases a videotape of Helen Thomas saying, yeah, why don't they just go home? And notice how easy it is to shift focus. Fred in Oregon writes regarding Helen Thomas, what's so wrong with saying go back to Poland or Germany or Russia or the United States? It's very common to hear in America white people say to people of color, go back where you came from. Ms. Thomas was just frustrated by the Zionist control of the truth. By having her resign just proves your point. Also, Arabs are Semites, too. God bless Helen, a beacon of truth. Fred in Oregon. Alice writes, Mike, if Helen Thomas had said that all Palestinians should get out of Gaza and the West Bank should go back to where, should get out of Gaza and the West Bank and go back to where they came from, because, you know, it was a land without people when the Israelis arrived, she would now be the editor of the Washington Post. Well, of course, any scurrilous, nasty comment against Palestinians, and you get deafening silence. Michael writes, regarding Peter Beinart's piece, I heard today, Michael writes, that the musical group The Pixies had canceled an appearance in Israel, and while they apparently made no mention of the aid flotilla attack, the Israelis and the right-wingers in this country have assumed such. In response, an Israeli promoter described the cancellation as, quote, cultural terrorism, end quote. Cultural terrorism. You see how this works? Michael writes, to understand this, one has to recall that Robert Fisk, the British writer, said a long time ago that the word terrorism had been debased and was close to meaningless. And the promoter of this particular concert, Shuki Weiss, just drove the last spike into the rhetorical heart of the word. He proved, Weiss did as well, definitely and finally, that to the Israelis, the definition of terrorism includes anything that fails to stroke the national ego of Israel, a tendency which the right wing of this country has displayed for a long, long time. And that's pretty much the definition of national psychosis. Yeah, it is. It is. The government of Israel, especially this one, is behaving, were it an individual, it would be locked up. It would be locked up. GR in Arizona writes, Helen Thomas resigned from journalism. If there was ever any doubt about how much power the Israeli lobby and the Israeli military-industrial mafia has over this collapsing nation, it should be no mystery now. Attack Israel in any way, have your head handed to you. The neoconservative right in this country is still in charge, no matter what the delusional masses think, is still right on board with whatever war crime Israel wants to commit, and supports it unconditionally. Going after George W. Bush didn't have much immediate destructive ramifications as this for Helen Thomas. Her spewing out of the grim truth of Israel must have prompted the delivery of a message to her over the weekend. Horse's head in the bed sheets? You decide. But when Helen Thomas is gone, the last voice of reason is finally gone from American journalism, the last critical thinker finally cast out. The purification is surely upon us now. Keep your bag by the door and your keys in your pocket. GR. Hopi Indian. Arizona. We have a break coming, and we have more, much more to cover here, some of it continuing about Helen Thomas, because now that the story of the attack on the flotilla is gone, the deaths of 9 people trying to get aid to the Palestinians, that story's gone now. It's gone. It's gone. Anyone talking about it today? Hear anything? I don't know. I didn't watch that much news today. Anybody hear anything about the 9 dead, about the attack by the Israeli Defense Forces on the high seas against an aid boat? Anything? Hello? No, I don't think I heard anything today. But I certainly heard about Helen Thomas.
up America one flying monkey at a time. It's More Mike Malloy.
Yes, it is. It's More Mike Malloy. 26 before the hour. Steve in Laverne, California. Subject line, free speech. Hi, Mike. Yes, we like to think we have free speech. We don't. We have the illusion of free speech. There are parameters. And if someone strays from the reservation, they're ostracized. If someone in Helen's position had said something of that sort about the Palestinians, do you think there would have been an uproar? Would they have had to retire? Just wondering. Steve. Debbie. Mike, I know I am not one of your smart emailers. Well, Debbie, I would disagree. However, could not let this go. Since waking up early this morning, Pacific time, saw what I'd been missing all weekend on mainstream media by watching C-SPAN this morning. Wow. I'm glad I missed it all. This blogger, who knew that Helen Thomas was not up to her usual restrained self, got her to say something that would now make her retire by force from her job. We can no longer have any real thoughts anymore. Hello to the movie Minority Report. But then I had to be subjected to the so-called expert from Roll Call, David Drucker, who tells us, like he is a high school professor or something, that us liberals have to compromise getting off oil, and that the only way to start the transition is that we have to have more nuclear power. I will say this again to those who care. Silkwood. I'm just too upset to write more. That was Debbie in L.A. Irish Day. Mike, when I think of verboten topics, the Russian mafia living and operating from Israel comes to mind. Maybe somebody should ask the convicted felon Elliot Abrams about that. From DT, regarding the Israeli Navy. Mike, maybe Obama could hire the Israeli Navy to take care of business in the Gulf of Mexico on these criminal oil rigs, since there would be no investigations and no consequences based on their actions. They could actually do some good and knock off some of these eco-terrorists, the oil companies that are destroying our planet. Both of these groups, the Israeli military and oil companies, are criminal enterprises, and no matter what they do, they will not be held accountable for the death and destruction that they cause. It's very true. Now, I may have touched on this when back last Monday, a week ago, when the story of the attack on the flotilla erupted. Jonathan Tessini, who is Jewish, candidate for the Democratic nomination for the 15th Congressional District in New York, released this statement, quote, "Beyond the obvious condemnation of the Israeli attack in international waters on the flotilla of boats carrying humanitarian aid to Gaza, I want us to focus very clearly on this fact. Our country bears a heavy responsibility for the deaths of at least 10 people whose one goal was to deliver basic supplies to a population that has endured a crushing blockade. The truth is that those deaths could have been avoided had the political leadership of the United States, the administration, and the Congress ended our country's failed policy of refusing to act to end the Gaza blockade, refusing to demand from Israel that it negotiate seriously an end to the occupation, refusing to act decisively when Israel did not abide by basic international standards of law, and effectively continuing a one-sided policy that gave Israel a green light for policies that cleared a path that inevitably leads to attacks as the one that just happened. For years, the U.S. has had ample opportunity to change its one-sided policy, which has resulted in the continued warfare, occupation, misery, and death of Palestinians and Israelis. Indeed, had we acted properly just 2 months ago, the deaths of the people on the flotilla might have been avoided. In March, the Israeli government approved the building of 1,600 new homes in East Jerusalem, a decision by the Israeli government that was counterproductive, done in bad faith, and sent a signal that the Israeli government was not serious about reaching a comprehensive peace agreement in the Middle East. an agreement which must result in the creation of an independent, viable Palestinian state for any peace agreement to be long-lasting. At the time, the President and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton correctly criticized the Israeli government and were met with an onslaught of political attacks generated by AIPAC, the American-Israel Political Affairs Committee, and supported by dozens of members of Congress. At the time, I called on this administration to recognize the humanitarian crisis that was taking place every day in Gaza as a result of the Israeli blockade and urged the Obama administration to demand that the blockade be halted immediately. Gaza is home to 1.5 million people who are being denied regular access to food, electricity, and medical supplies because of this blockade. The blockade violates international law because it imposes collective punishment on a civilian population as a retaliation for the action of armed groups which are illegally firing rockets at Israeli citizens. Violence against civilians cannot be tolerated by either side. As well, the blockade will only serve to make long-term reconciliation more difficult because it further embitters the civilian population, which has already suffered decades of poverty and economic hardship because of the lack of a peace agreement and a military conflict. The administration did not act, the Obama administration. It cowered in the face of attacks by AIPAC and others who I argue are responsible for the death of many civilians by their continued support for a foolish, dangerous, and immoral policy that has failed the people of the region. The U.S. must condemn in the strongest terms possible the attack on the Gaza peace flotilla. It must immediately demand a lifting of the blockade against Gaza. And it must be clear that the United States will no longer tolerate violations of international law by the Israeli government. I speak out not just as a candidate for public office. I speak as a Jew. I speak out as the son of a father who was born in Palestine and who fought in the Jewish underground. I speak as someone who has had family members killed in the decades-long conflict. I speak as someone who has lived in Israel and witnessed violence firsthand. And I speak as someone who has many family members still living there. And therefore, I will not rest nor be silent as a candidate and as a member of the House until our government, is clearly an unstinting supporter of a two-state solution and is willing to speak up when international law is violated. Today is Memorial Day. We must think not only of those who have died all across the world because of the tragedy of war, but all those who are living and whose lives can still be saved if we begin to take a moral stance against violence as a tool used by nations to resolve disputes. Jonathan Tessini, who is running for the Democratic nomination in the 15th Congressional District in New York. I wonder what's going to happen to his career now, right? What's going to happen to his campaign? And I know there are cynics in the listening to the program who say, well, what's the big deal? So he speaks out. Listen, for an American Jew, especially one running for political office, to take the stance that Jonathan Tessini has taken almost demands respect for the man. I'm sorry, that's where we live. That's where we live. And I think Tessini's statement is certainly honorable. Ellen Thomas issued a statement today. I deeply regret my comments, the comments I made last week regarding the Israelis and the Palestinians. They do not reflect my heartfelt belief that peace will come to the Middle East only when all parties recognize the need for mutual respect and tolerance. May that day come soon. The White House Correspondents Association called her statements, in which she said Jews should leave Israel and return to Europe, as reprehensible. The White House Correspondents Association, you know, what a pack of lily-livered, cowardly bastards. The White House Correspondents Association, as a group, are gutless. For 8 years, these cowardly, spineless bastards sat there and was spoon-fed lies, distortions, deceit, and deception by the Bush crime family. When did they speak out? When? But Helen Thomas? Oh, well, that's different. Her statements were indefensible. Our action during 8 years of the Bush crime family were very professional. But Helen Thomas? Indefensible. Helen Thomas was asked about Israel on May 27th. The video was recorded by the website rabbilive.com on the day the White House held a Jewish heritage event. The video was released then Friday. Any comments on Israel? An off-screen voice asked Thomas. Thomas says, tell them to get the hell out of Palestine. The voice says, where should they go? She responds that they should go home to Germany or Poland or the United States. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, Helen Thomas said Jews should leave Palestine, not Israel. A couple of comments regarding the White House Correspondents Association and the comments made by Robert Gibbs, Obama's press secretary. The White House reaction, the press reaction, and of course the false outcry by many Jewish organizations show how reprehensible and hypocritical the press and the White House is and how much they are influenced by the right-wing Jewish organizations in the U.S. Nobody has the guts to tell Israel or the right-wing extremists now leading that country to stop meddling in American affairs and stop the elimination of Palestine. The Israeli government behavior is not much different from any other dictatorial country and should be condemned. Many countries have done that already, but America has always sided with right-wing governments in their foreign policy and will support Israel at any cost, no matter how many Palestinian lives will be lost. Helen Thomas, this Valentine writes this one. Helen Thomas has always been an outspoken yet thoughtful journalist. Her opinions have been forged in the pit of political commentary for decades. Since when does the administration chastise an opinion they don't like? Shame on Gibbs and the White House Correspondents Association. Obama owes her an apology and should have some harsh words for Gibbs. Pep wrote, Helen Thomas is one of the very best in reporting, will be sadly missed. As far as Gibbs' comments, he is a joke. What is reprehensible, disgusting, and immoral are the three wars in the Middle East, killing millions and destroying societies. Gibbs is a joke. ECD wrote, Helen Thomas is, of course, 100% correct in her comments, and I find the fact that both the White House and White House Correspondents Association are trying to silence her reprehensible. She has a right to her opinion, no matter how offensive the Jewish community might find it. The Jews that are now moving into Palestinian territory are and were mostly Ashkenazi Jews of European descent. They are not Semitic Jews and have no ancestral claims to any land there. End of story. The Palestinians are, in fact, Semitic people with deep and longstanding ties and or claims to the land. If anyone is being anti-Semitic, it is these European Jews. And from George in Seattle, who writes, Mike, I'd like to know what it was about what Helen Thomas said that wasn't true. Helen Thomas didn't say that Israel shouldn't exist. What she said was that Israel is occupying Palestinian territory, which they are. She also said that Polish settlers, among other European Jews, are illegally taking over land in the West Bank, which they are, and that they should go home. The European Jews have no right to build homes in Palestinian territory and should get out. Whether they go back home to Europe or not is up to them. George in Seattle. Of course. Of course. And Mark Perkel writes, it is unfortunate that Helen Thomas was forced to retire after speaking her mind about Israel. I happen to agree with her, although I wouldn't have worded it the way she did. No religion should have a homeland. Whenever there is a religious homeland, it creates a caste system where one group of people are superior to all other religious groups. If the Jews get one, then it justifies the Muslims getting one. Then the Christians will want one. And eventually the Church of Scientology will want their homeland. I also don't like censorship. It seems that you can't say anything that criticizes Israel or draw cartoons of Muhammad without losing your job or your life. Helen Thomas is a role model for me. Like Helen, I don't accept this form of oppression, and I will say whatever I want about anyone I want. I encourage others to do the same. Mark Perkel. He is, full disclosure, he is a former webmaster for the Molloy program. Oh, God, it just never stops, does it? It just never stops. All right. You know, the most offensive are the statements so made by Ari Fleischer and Elliot Abrams, two murderous bastards, two American Jews who are so responsible for so much death and destruction. And both of them with their smug, superior attitude about right-wing U.S. foreign policy, just continue to do whatever they please. Any other society would have identified these two as war criminals and dealt with them. But not here. Not here. Not ever. If that doesn't piss you off too, well, take your pulse, because you might find you're already dead. Oh, God. When we come back after this break, I'm going to move off the Helen Thomas story, off the Flotilla story. I will guarantee you that these are topics that I will revisit, as I've been doing for 25 years. The absolute oppression and murderous actions against the people of Palestine. And if that bothers you, I don't know what to say, except to say you are probably listening to the wrong program. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program. And what is extremely galling, we're going to move on in a second here, but this is from yesterday's New York Daily News. Senator Chuck Schumer, who is Jewish, is calling on the U.S. State Department to investigate whether or not there were Al-Qaeda ties to the Gaza flotilla. Huh? Right. That it's really a terrorist plot to take humanitarian aid to people who are being systematically eliminated. He said Sunday, Schumer said he's sending a letter to Hillary Clinton asking the State Department to investigate reports that the organization Insani Yardim Vakfi, the Turkish organization that backed this boat, has long-standing ties to terror groups. Schumer said, the American people and the world deserve the full story. Oh, you rat bastard. You no more want a full story out there than you want your left leg to drop off. It just never stops. It just never stops. Mike in Idaho, thanks for sending that one in. Yeah, investigate the victims. Investigate the victims. Investigate the victims. That's what to do. Investigate the victims. How dare they? From Tom in Daytona, Mike, Israel takes its policy from the defective notion of the ethnic state. Apartheid is an appropriate characterization. Israel's past strong ties to apartheid South Africa were no accident. The practice of creating tribal Bantustans for the despised indigenous subrace is something they took a great interest in. Comparisons of Gaza to the Nazi immolation of the Warsaw Ghetto are very pertinent to modern-day Israel. Ethnic cleansing is Israel's policy. Anyone who dares to interfere with this policy will be terrorized. The constant repetition of nonsense of the so-called existential threat presented by activists on behalf of the Palestinian oppressed are reminiscent of Hitler's nonsense about existential threats presented by Jews and other so-called inferior races. The United States' total disregard for international law, represented by its invasions and occupations, its failure to prosecute torture and other human rights violations, its continuing policies of rendition and bombing of civilian populations, all render Obama and his administration completely impotent in the face of Israeli excesses. The United States does not respect international law at all. The history of U.S. aggression against other ethnic groups provides an example for Israel, the most glaring example of which was the ethnic cleansing of Native Americans. The purpose was the same, to steal the land of the indigenous people and their resources by destroying their society and their culture. And so it goes. Tom from Daytona. Corey in Louisville, he identifies himself as a black guy who supports the Palestinians' right to live in their own country. Corey writes, why does Israel have the right to exist? The UN said so. I'm sure you know this, but many listeners don't. Israel was declared in existence by the UN. It was not fought over. It was not cut off from another country by vote or war. It was a piece of land that the UN simply willed into a country. They displaced the native Palestinian people into two areas, small areas, and forgot about them. The UN can and had the authority to create the country of Israel. They can and should use that authority to create the country of Palestine. Israel only exists because the UN said it does. And for that reason alone, I support its existence. But any American or any Jew who gets up in arms when anyone gives Israel the mildest criticism, all I have to say is this. Substitute Israel for Canada. Would you criticize Canada for those actions? I wonder if those white supremacists are right after all. There is a Zionist conspiracy, except it's called AIPAC. Corey in Louisville, Kentucky. Earlier tonight, I shared with you a letter from Mike in Oregon City who started out by saying, I can't seem to hold together anymore. The crisis in the Gulf put me over the edge of rational thought. He mentions the Helen Thomas story and the soldier who leaked the helicopter video showing the murder of innocents. He said, I'm so tired of fighting against these people, Mike. I am, like you, honestly wondering what WTF to do. Well, Kate in the Desert writes to him, you are not alone. I don't have children nor access to young people. I am surrounded by bigoted, racist Reagan Republicans who are all over 70. I agree that the future looks grim, not only for the folks on the Gulf, but we will suffer globally for this. I don't have the television, and my internet connections out here in the desert is sketchy. When the TV is on at my patient's house, where I do relief hospice care, I get glimpses of the horror on the faux network. I am heartbroken about what is happening to all the folks I know down there, how they are still struggling for recovery from Katrina. All of them have health problems. A lot of them still live in substandard housing. The only way to deal with my impotent rage is to turn off the radio and stay away from the internet. I read a fiction book a day, and I go to sleep to classical music. You are not alone, friend, referring to Mike in Oregon. I don't remember where you live, but surely there's a place to spend some hours volunteering for folks in a senior center, a hospital ward, a kids' camp, a soup kitchen, a food bank. Getting out of myself and into others gives me a measure of peace. Kate in the Desert. And Justine in Maryland writes, Mike, I only have a couple of minutes, but I share the sense of larger impending doom of the listener whose letter you read. I agree with your suggestion to focus on the people or the things that give our lives meaning. In all of this, I keep thinking of the part of the book and movie, The Unbearable Lightness of Being, when the main characters can no longer face the day-to-day oppression and insanity of communism. One leaves the Eastern Bloc and travels to the United States, while the others flee to the middle of nowhere in the countryside, where they lead a simple life, tending to a small farm to sustain their bodies and relying on old books, art, and music to feed their souls. Justine. You know, I agree with these letter writers. You almost have to just remove yourself totally from what is the world, at least the world that's being reported. And the fact that it's being reported does not, I don't think, bring it into existence. It is in existence. It does exist. And the fact that it's being reported on might magnify the anxiety that we feel, but it's still, these are real events. Whether it is the murder of 9 people on a peace flotilla or this horrific eruption in the Gulf of Mexico that is increasing. I heard today somebody say that no, they're now capturing 50% of the oil. And I'm sorry, and this guy was not a spokesperson for BP, as far as I know. He was a professor at, a university in Florida, maybe not in Florida. But I can't, I just can't buy into the crap. The part that I hear is that it's going to be 2 months minimum before this horror even begins to let up. And as far as cleaning the Gulf, I mean, does anybody understand? Does anybody get this? This is not cleaning up your kitchen sink. This is not going to be cleaned up. In time, decades, if not longer, perhaps, maybe, the natural world will emulsify this stuff and make it go away. Maybe. We'll be right back.
seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Some more emails regarding what we've been talking about. This is Sandy from Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Mike. My 86-year-old mother and I enjoy your show very much. The only thing we worry about is that my parrot might start saying, rat bastard. I've been listening and agreeing with your comments about Helen Thomas and the terrorists, known as the Israeli army. I'm not an anti-Semite, but as a student of history, I am an anti-Zionist. When I was in high school, I had a history teacher whose father was a professor at the University of Jerusalem in 1947. As a Palestinian Christian, he lost his job and his home when the Zionists and the U.S.-led UN formed the State of Israel. He and his family were sent to a refugee camp. Perhaps Ms. Thomas should have suggested that refugee camps could be established for the Israeli citizens. It is a recognition of extreme injustice, anti-Semitism? I think not. Sandy. Ron in Raleigh writes, Mike, what amazes me is that no one in our government even addresses the fact that the blockade is in itself an illegal act. It, the so-called blockade, is an act of collective punishment which is illegal under the Fourth Geneva Convention. Ron in Raleigh. And Kay in San Francisco, our education correspondent, writes, Mike, you know what makes me saddest about the Israeli attack on the flotilla of boats and the forced resignation of Helen Thomas for her comments about Israel? These two incidents are just more evidence that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is intractable. My German grandfather was born in 1898. He lived through both world wars in Germany, so he knew something about political conflict. And the fact that such conflict is almost never resolved through the rational engagement of world leaders. He lived with us in San Francisco on and off over the years, and one of my clearest memories is the way he would respond every time there was a news item regarding violence between Israelis and Palestinians. He would always somberly shake his head and say, with a tone of deep regret, this problem will never be resolved, ever. My grandfather was born at the end of the 19th century and lived through most of the 20th, the bloodiest century in history. Here we are well into the 21st century, and it seems that my grandfather's observations were absolutely correct. What a tragedy. Kay. And by the way, you can go to Kay's website, kaysreportcard.com. From Rick in San Francisco, what is most disgusting about this Helen Thomas thing is knowing that the same reporters, quote, who cheered her return to the front row of the White House press room are stricken mute if they are not joined in the dogpile on her now. Also, I listened to the quote several times today, and George is right. Ms. Thomas said Israelis should get out of Palestine. Rick in San Francisco. Claude in New Jersey writes, Mike, Helen Thomas knew she was talking to a representative of a Jewish website when she made her comments. These were not private comments revealed at a later time. They were frank but not mean. What happened to freedom of speech? During the run-up to the Iraq War, a member of the American Enterprise Institute joked that the axis of evil was Germany, Belgium, and France. He didn't get fired. Disgusting double standards. Claude in New Jersey. And Kat Mary in Memphis writes, Mike, reminder, Chuck Schumer was one of the original signatories of PNAC. Therefore, he wants the U.S. entrenched in endless wars on multiple fronts. He's a treasonous piece of scum. Kat Mary, strongly opinionated in Memphis. I had forgotten that. That's right. Charles Schumer, this Democratic senator from New York, was one of those people who signed on the PNAC agreement that, among other things, longed for the United States to experience another attack on Pearl Harbor event. What a bastard. What a bastard. And the thing that is scary to me is that American Jews, I think for the most part, fully understand, regardless of what the Zionists in this country say, fully understand that every time an act like this is perpetrated against Helen Thomas, or in a much more serious and bloody sense, against the 9-10 people who were killed on that flotilla, it increases the potential for real anti-Semitic event, anti-Jewish incidences in this country. Every single time that it is revealed even further by those little tiny cracks in the wall that people like Chuck Schumer or people like Elliot Abrams or people who is the other guy I just mentioned a little while ago, when these people continue their pogrom against the Palestinians, when they continue these illegal and unlawful acts, you don't have to be a college graduate to understand that collective punishment is a violation of international law. As long as these acts continue, it's amazing to me that American Jews continue to scream about legitimate acts of anti-Semitism.
Jim Cook.
No more Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malone.
It's 25 before the hour. This is from Tuesday's Washington Post, tomorrow morning's. The Israeli Navy fatally shot at least four Palestinian divers on Monday off the coast of Gaza. Military officials allege they were en route to attack Israel. Two divers were reported to have survived the attack and others reported missing. The divers are members of a violent affiliate of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas's Fatah Party, known as the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade. A spokesman for one of the brigade divisions said, the spokesman for the group's Palestine division said the divers were on a training mission, unarmed and operating in shallow water 250 meters from the Gaza coastline. The Israeli military, in a brief statement, said its forces had fired upon, quote, a squad of terrorists wearing diving suits on their way to execute a terror attack, end quote. The statement did not provide specifics of what was planned or say whether the divers had weapons. So that's the latest. Reg writes, any outrage in the media about this one? This goes on all the time. Just imagine if the dead had been Israeli divers. No, I can't. I can't imagine that. Somebody here is getting tired of all the talk about Israel. Okay. You know, I said I got two letters, two emails, one of which I read earlier, and I want to read this one. It's from Cynthia, San Jose, California. And whether you appreciate my reading it or not is, I mean, I'm sorry if it offends you or you feel it's something that doesn't belong on a radio program, but she wrote it to me and I want to do it. She writes, Mike, it's been a terribly sad day for me today, and as I cried, I wrote the letter below and sent it to Obama, my senators Feinstein and Boxer, and my congressman Mike Honda. Will the world notice or care? Of course not. But I couldn't let my brother pass without trying. Maybe it will help some other poor soul. Cynthia, this is what she wrote. I found out this evening that my brother died this morning. Who was my brother? He was no one. He was my brother, and I loved him. He apparently died from an artery to his heart or in his heart that burst. I gather it was sudden and quick. Who was my brother? He was a Vietnam vet. He was a medic and saw plenty of action and plenty of death. He wrote me so long ago from Vietnam of being in ambushes and mortar attacks and of trying to scoop the brains of his buddies off the ground and putting them back into their skulls in hopes of saving them. He wrote of soldiers who were standing next to him when they were shot dead. And he wrote of escaping the machine gun bullets himself. And he won the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his battlefield injuries and for valor. But he saw so much death and horror and destruction that it affected him the rest of his life. He couldn't escape it. He had PTSD so bad that he couldn't bear to be around people, including his own family. It was hard for me to approach him as he rejected contact. His Bronze Star and Purple Heart, I believe he threw them all away as it embarrassed him. I'm sure he was proud of his service, even as he was a casualty of it. And it probably didn't help him in his employment. When the time came to send all of our American jobs to Asia so that the rich ruling class in this country could make even more money, his was among the first to go. And he had to suffer the indignity of training his foreign replacement. He never found another good job again, and he lost his home, his car, everything. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he finally went to the VA and got some help. PTSD is a terrible thing. The VA is wonderful and I praise it, but I believe it was too late for him. The hardships and stress that he endured through his too short life killed him. Heart disease like that does not run in my family. He's a casualty of the Vietnam War. Will he be recognized as such? I'm sure he won't. And neither will the veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars who suffer the same fate as my brother in coming years. War is an unwelcome gift that keeps on giving. So who is my brother? He was no one at all. No one. Few will notice his passing, just family and friends. But he was my brother, and I loved him, and I worried about him, and I cared about him with all my heart and all my soul. And now he is gone, and I am so empty. Warren Leader. He was my brother. Cynthia. From the New York Times this evening, from their website, the dispersal of oil using all those chemical dispersants means it will take years to clean up. Which one of these lying BP bastards did I hear today say that this will be cleaned up in a few months? The Times says, although the Coast Guard had trained for the possibility of cleaning up the disastrous oil spill in the Gulf, it had never anticipated that oil would spread across such a broad area and break up into hundreds of thousands of patches as the current spill has done. That's according to Admiral Thad Allen. He said at a news conference, quote, it's the breadth and complexity of the disaggregation of the oil that is now posing the greatest cleanup challenge. He underscored the challenge by acknowledging in response to a reporter's question that it would take years to mitigate the impact of the spill on the marshes, beaches, and wildlife of the Gulf Coast. He said, quote, this is a long campaign and we're going to be dealing with this for the foreseeable future, end quote. I think perhaps maybe if any of us, myself included, had the sense of a sack full of doorknobs, we would really take a look at this event in the Gulf and realize, I guess, a couple of things, not the least of which is how vulnerable we are. It's not just the workers on the oil rig who were murdered by BP, or the workers in the mine that were murdered by the Massey Company, or the workers in Texas who were murdered by BP. It's not just them, although that is tragic enough. But everybody is this vulnerable. Everybody in the United States, the world, is this vulnerable. While this is unfolding in real time so that everyone can watch it, everyone can take note of what's going on, this environmental disaster, the buildup of carbon dioxide and other poisonous gas in the atmosphere continues. The inching up of global temperatures continues. You know, aside from the destruction, as bad as it is, the destruction of these pristine beaches, the destruction of these invaluable, necessary wetlands and estuaries and breeding grounds, in spite of that damage, as horrendous as it is, the loss of jobs, ways of life, cultural developments along the Gulf Coast, in spite of all that, there is a bigger issue here. As horrific as it is on a micro level, you get to the macro level and you take a look at what is going on. This is, if not an actual ELV, very close to it. Extinction level event, very close to it. And it just goes on. And in the meantime, the hand-wringing and the press conferences and the blame-pointing and the impotence and the inability of anybody, anywhere, to stop it is just incredible. It just goes on. It's an indicator. It's a display. It's a signpost. And these rotten sons of bitchin' Republicans are still talking about well, we're not going to stop drilling. We're not paying attention, are we? We're not. Before the hour, this is one of those programs where I feel like a lot of words were said, but not too much of substance. You know, it just never really makes that much difference, I don't think. Which doesn't mean that we don't keep talking, right? Ah, Gosh, I wanted to, Prairie 2 sent an excellent report in. We'll have to do it tomorrow night. I think I have a Kay Petrini report card here. Things just start to back up, you know what I'm saying? As far as this ongoing horror, which one, Mike? Yeah. Afghanistan has now become the longest war the United States has been involved in, which I find just absolutely mind-boggling. Last week, we surpassed 1,000 Americans dead, and there's no telling how many Afghan civilians dead. And I'll ask the question again and again and again. I think every rational person asks the question, to what end? Why are we there? What are we doing there? Other than the pipeline. The fact that Israel, we talked about this before Netanyahu won this last election, Israel truly is in the hands of a cadre of sociopaths. I don't think there is any standard by which you can judge these people and not come to that conclusion. And what they're doing, they're making it difficult, if not near impossible, for those of us who supported the idea, as wrong as it may seem now, who supported the idea after the fact of the establishment of the State of Israel, it's becoming impossible. To support Israel now, you must be able to support attempted genocide, the breaking of international law, straight up murder, nuclear threats, a refusal, an absolute refusal to understand that the track that the Israeli government is on right now is going to lead, if not to a full-blown war, then a continuation of this murder and mayhem on both sides of this issue. It's not going to stop. To be a friend of Israel now, you have to be able to deny that state's criminality. You have to be able to deny it. You have to judge the Palestinians as being less human than Israelis. You have to support collective punishment. You have to support the denial of absolutely desperately needed food and medical supplies. That's what you have to do if you are going to be a supporter of Israel. What do they want us to do? Those of us who did support the concept of the State of Israel, what are we supposed to do? And now you have this unconscionable Senator Chuck Schumer from New York doing exactly what Glenn Beck told him to do. Demand an investigation of the victims of the flotilla assault. Let's find out their ties to Al-Qaeda, since that has become the magic word for these bastards, hasn't it? Al-Qaeda this, Al-Qaeda that. And now when people are trying to breach a blockade and bring relief, this filthy United States senator suggests that there might be a tie to Al-Qaeda. That's what we've come to. It's just, it's astonishing. And the mean, Meantime, on top of all of this, this hole punched in the bottom of the ocean continues. It just continues and continues and continues. It apparently is not stoppable. When does that sink into us? That this oil gusher will stop when finally the pressure underneath the surface, underneath the bottom of the ocean, where this massive collection of oil resides, when that pressure finally lessens to the extent the sea pressure or some kind of a cap can be put on, and not until how many millions and millions and millions of barrels do we have to go yet? I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Jim Cook.